In this episode of the Motor City Hypnotist Podcast, we're going to talk about the history of hypnosis. Now, for those of you that have been with me from the very beginning, I think we may have done an episode like this, maybe in the first 20 episodes or so. So I thought it'd be a good time to revisit it, refresh, add some additional information, maybe some not really new, but just kind of expound on what we talked about before. So yeah, we're going to go over where did hypnosis come from? Where did it start? How did it develop over the years? So we're going to cover all of that. And as usual, we're giving away free stuff. Hang in there, folks. We'll be right back.
Get ready for the Motor City Hypnotist, David R. Wright, originating from the suburbs of Detroit, Michigan. He has hypnotized thousands of people from all over the United States. David R. Wright has been featured on news outlets all across the country and is the clinical director of an outpatient mental health and hypnosis clinic located just south of Detroit, where he helps people daily using the power of hypnosis. Welcome, the Motor City Hypnotist, David R. Wright.
What is going on, my friends? This is David Wright, the Motor City Hypnotist. And we're back. Believe it or not, we're back with another episode of the Motor City Hypnotist Podcast.
Yes, you are.
So I apologize, folks, for those who may have been looking on Facebook Live, but I had a few weeks off. We had some stuff to take care of, family stuff, schedule, work, that kind of stuff.
What character was it?
And an illness. I was sick at one point. I just wasn't feeling great. So
what character was it in Jurassic Park? Life finds a way.
Oh, I don't know.
It was what's his putz? It was the all black guy, not in the all black in the dress shirt pants. It was Jeff Goldblum.
Goldblum. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Life finds a way.
Yes. Life finds a way.
And it found us back here.
It did. And we're back. So thanks, folks, for sticking in there and waiting. Maybe you weren't waiting, but here we are. So let me tell you where we're at. We're in the Podcast Your Voice Southfield Studios.
We're back.
See, it's been a month, so I don't even know what I'm doing or saying anymore. That's crazy.
Oh, come on. You got the cadence, right?
I ain't listening to you no more.
What in blazes are you talking about?
Oh, yeah. You got to get it on. Okay. Get your thing on. Go ahead.
No! Don't shut me up.
You missed your douche buttons.
I know.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, the Podcast Your Voice, Palatial Podcast
Your
Voice.
Yeah, the Palatial Southfield Studios, a Podcast Your Voice. Yeah. Check out podcastyourvoice.com in case you're interested in doing a podcast. This is the place to do it.
Yeah.
I'll just let you know. We got a nice studio. We got a full bar. Plenty of room.
It's over here somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. See?
See?
I'm already filled up.
I'm being
you got
a good
your
boy.
Wendy's, yeah.
I'm being a good boy tonight. Yes, I'm not partaking. I partook a little bit yesterday and the day before. So
let me tell you, folks, where you can find me. My website is motorcityhypnotist.com. Check it out, especially if you're looking to book a show. I know we threw this out about a month ago, but we're coming up on grad season. Prom grad season is coming up really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in the family committee or the parent committee that books these shows, reach out now because dates are filling up quickly.
Yes,
so find that on motorcityhypnotist.com. You'll find a place that says inquire about a show. Click on there. You just enter information. You don't even have to call anyone. You'll get a quote online within a few minutes.
Yep.
As soon as you send it, you'll have a quote. So check that out. My social media, Facebook and YouTube, are both Motor City Hypnotist, and Snapchat and Instagram are both Motor City Hypno. And that's HYPNO.
Yep.
And as always, we give away a free hypnosis guide. Text the word hypnosis to 313-800-8510. And if you need that number again, it'll be in the show notes, or just go right to my website. And that's the number right on the website to reach us.
There it is.
So before we get started, a big kind of a shout out, but in memoriam, Richard Lewis passed away over the weekend.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. I'm a big Curb Your Enthusiasm fan, and I was just watching the new season. And he had a huge part in the last episode I watched, and I was like, oh man.
Yeah, it's unfortunately he's not the last.
No, I mean, and I know famous people pass, but you know, it's just so weird that we're right in the middle of this Curb Your Enthusiasm season where he's always, you know, he's always a great character on there. But
that's fair.
Yeah. So anyway, shout out to Richard Lewis. Condolences to family and friends and everybody else. But yeah, just, you know, it's a bummer. Mm-hmm. It happens.
We lost a good one.
We did. Absolutely. So.
Oh, is it that time?
It's time.
Oh.
That's how winning is done.
Real quick, before you get into
yes.
this, is it stripes that or is it lines that make somebody look bigger when they're on camera?
Horizontal lines.
Horizontal lines. What yes. about Argyle?
Vertical. Vertical makes you look thinner.
What about Argyle?
No, I mean, that goes up and down and side to side, so it makes you bigger both ways.
All right.
No, I don't know. It's crazy.
I feel big.
Oh, great Odin's Raven.
I put out a few pounds over the past few weeks. Mm-hmm. You know?
It happens. It happens.
All right, so I'm sorry. Good news story.
Good news story. I was going to do Richard Lewis for Winner of the Week, but, you know, it's kind of like he passed, so mm-hmm. it just, you know.
We'll see.
So, yes, we'll revisit it later.
Okay.
A 5-year-old girl was reported missing recently near Tampa.
Well, this is starting out great.
After the autistic child wandered off and got lost in a swamp.
My goodness. This is a
winner
of the week.
That's the first line of the story.
My goodness. Okay.
So my first thought when I found the story, I'm like, oh, wait, autistic child in a swamp. I'm thinking the chances of survival are very slim here.
Are we in Louisiana?
Tampa, Florida.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. Even better.
Yeah. Right. The haunt of snapping turtles, alligators, water moccasins, and other beasties. Florida swamps are no place for an unattended child.
Right.
But fortunately, a coordinated rescue operation by the sheriff's office located her before disaster struck.
Good.
Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office deployed their aviation unit with thermal imaging to a heavily wooded area after receiving a call about the missing child.
Right.
Speaking to officers among the reeds and cypress, the pilot located the girl about 1 hour after the search began.
Very nice.
Yes.
Well, how far could a 5-year-old get?
Well, that's true. Body cam footage released by the HCSO shows 3 officers finding and calling her name. "We were looking for you, sweetheart," said one. Fortunately, the girl came to the officers instead of running further away and mm-hmm. potentially hurting herself mm-hmm. and seemed perfectly happy when one of the rescue team lifted her out of the water and onto dry land. Sheriff Chad Cronister commended the officers, saying their quick action saved the day, turning a potential tragedy into a hopeful reunion.
Yes.
Their dedication shows what service and protection are all about here at Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office.
I'm so happy that they found her.
Uh-huh.
I'm you know, it's a bummer that a 5-year-old mm-hmm. somehow got lost in a swamp in Florida.
Right.
Where are the parents?
Well, they don't give any details on how they got out. So let me go from personal preference personal history here.
Okay.
So I had my grandfather, my dad's dad, he ended up getting Alzheimer's in his later ages.
Okay.
So at one point he would just escape the house. Because my dad actually would go and stay with him for the mm-hmm, week mm-hmm. or stay with him on the weekends. And my mom would stay with him during the week.
Okay.
It's after my grandmother passed. He started getting worse. And at one point they started having to tie the door closed.
Right.
To keep him in, because a couple of times he got out and didn't know where he was. Mm-hmm. And of course the police bring him back because right. they find him wandering.
Right.
And they're like,
You gotta do something here. Yeah
something's up. So I get, especially if you have an autistic child or even an autistic adult, you might not even know they're gone at first.
Right.
Which I get it. As a parent, you would think, yeah, where were they?
Yeah. As a parent myself.
Yes, I know. I would think the same thing.
Where are the parents? Did they not realize that the door opened and the 5-year-old?
It's hard to say, especially, well, and again, I'm just going off of general knowledge here. But if you have an autistic child and they're prone to wandering off, you mm-hmm. probably, but I don't know. I don't know any of the prior history on this young lady.
Well, so. you're talking to a guy whose own mother left him in the grocery store on purpose to teach them a lesson. Yeah.
Did you learn the lesson?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I guess it worked then.
Tell you what, though, it was right when I was just going
to. Oh, great. Odin's Raven.
Okay, story time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my mom, she, you know, military mom, 100% raising, you know, two kids, myself and my younger sister, who's 18 mm-hmm. months younger, living in Alaska. We were at the grocery store. It's later in the evening, and she really wanted to get home. And we were like, okay, into the store, in and out. We're going to be done here pretty quickly. So stay right next to me.
Oh, boy.
So we're in the checkout line, and what's across the way but a Tron video game?
Oh, I'm going to the Tron video game.
Come on. You're talking to a young man who's big into video games, right? So I saunter myself over to Tron, and I'm looking at it. I'm not playing it. I'm just looking at it, right? My mother sees this, and she says to my sister, let's go. Checks out and walks out of the grocery store. I was just so in tune to this video game.
You had no idea she was gone.
No idea that she had left until I look up, and I look around, and there's no mom. And there's no sister. And I look out the window, and there goes the van through the parking lot.
No way.
It's the dead of winter in Alaska. I go booking myself into the parking lot in these clod-hopping boots, and I am running through the parking lot. Thank God the light turned red, and she didn't go through the light, because I got to the car, I opened up the door, and I'm literally,
Gosh, yeah.
My mom just burst out laughing. And she looked at me, I got in the car, and she goes, you'll listen to me from now on? I said, yes.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
Yes, and I agree.
That's the type of stuff that'll put a parent in jail these days.
I don't know what we're yelling about!
You're right, it could.
Yeah.
But it is a lesson.
Yeah. I learned a lesson. You stay right there, and you know what? She wasn't going to leave her child there.
No,
she was probably going to go around the parking lot. Yeah. But you know what? She saw me coming. Mm. She's like, "Oh, okay, I'll stop.
All right, let's take him back."
But as far as letting a 5-year-old just saunter out of the house by themselves, how do you not know?
I know. Yeah, it's there are a lot of these stories bring up questions that most of the time we don't get answers for.
Sure,
but.
And then I was in therapy for years after that anyway. So
absolutely. So, I mean, Matt, you're a winner. This 5-year-old girl with autism is a winner.
Yes.
The police are winners. Definitely winner of the week.
That's how winning is done.
Was that TMI? It felt like that was too much TMI.
No, not at all. It's story time. We always have story times here.
So, back to it.
Have you watched the new Walking Dead?
No,
those who
I have not. So here's the thing. Here's my Walking Dead history. I was totally into it all the way through. I don't know how many seasons there were in the original series.
I can't remember either. I got through one.
However many, I stopped before the last season.
All right.
I just lost interest.
I didn't even get that far. I stopped watching when Rick Grimes left.
Okay. Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Because he was the mainstay, and that's the character I really enjoyed watching. Mm-hmm. And then when he was gone, I'm like, well, there's nothing left for me here. So move on to the next.
I mean, it did. I feel like it did, you know, using the vernacular that's developed over the years. I feel like it jumped the shark a bit earlier than that.
That's fair.
So, I haven't really had any, because I didn't watch the last season or even maybe a couple seasons of Walking Dead. I just really haven't felt
I don't think
compelled to watch it.
I don't think you have to then start watching Those Who Live.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, you kind of get the idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know who's dead and who's not anymore, but
neither do I.
You know,
I just, you know, because the Negan dropped. That's why.
Yes.
So back to it.
Yes, that one.
Well, you know, I had to edit this drop. You know that, right?
No.
Because when he says so, there's like a 10-second pause while he's holding the bat.
That's right.
Back to it. Then he slams.
Yes.
Yeah.
Steven Yeun's.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Unfortunately. It's crazy.
All right.
Okay.
So we're going to learn.
Today, guys, about a history of hypnosis. When did it start? How did it start? How's it developed? Like, where did it come from? I mean, in the evolution of it, because things evolve. Like when you first start something, whatever kind of practice it is or whatever kind of thing, it evolves over time, mm-hmm. and people kind of use it to their own purposes, I guess, or kind of modify it to their own uses.
That's fair.
So the earliest references of hypnosis goes way back to ancient Egypt and Greece.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
In Greek mythology, there's a god called Hypnos. Okay. H-Y-P-N-O-S. Hypnos is the god.
The god of hypnosis?
He is the god of sleep.
Oh, okay.
So you see where we're going as far as the name goes.
I get that. Uh-huh. Huh? Yeah.
That's the origin of the word hypnosis. Huh. So the god Hypnos was in Greek mythology. There's also a Roman god who was also a god of sleep.
Okay.
His name was called Somnus.
Insomnia. Okay.
Insomnia. Yeah. Somnambulist is another term that we use. A somnambulist is a term for someone very susceptible to hypnosis.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those are the folks that you seek out at a show.
Oh, absolutely. I want all somnambulists on stage because that's, yeah. And typically, most of the time, I get a majority. Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing. So you could see this goes way back. And the reason that we're using terms from way back when, we use a lot of terms in English language that come from ancient terms or Latin or you know, some other language.
Got it.
So both of these cultures actually had what they called religious centers. So it's I would say like churches or temples or whatever you want to call them.
They had a denomination for themselves. Okay.
So people used to come to these religious centers or these temples for help with problems.
Huh.
So what these temples were, it was a place to sleep. They called them sleep temples. So people would come and relax and sleep, and they would use these temples to try to regenerate or rehabilitate or just recover if they're going through something traumatic.
Sure.
Yeah.
A lot of people call that work.
Yes, I know. yeah. So even as far as like hypnosis, the word, and we look at early writings, like, you know, we're talking about 2600 BC. So I mean, predating the Bible by thousands of years.
Sure.
There's a father of Chinese medicine. His name was Wang Tai.
Okay. Gesundheit.
Not right Tai. Wang Tai.
God bless you.
No! No! Don't shut me up! Oh, good for you!
Sorry. Yeah.
Wang Tai.
That was terrible. Wang Tai.
Okay.
So he wrote about techniques that involved incantation and passes of hands.
Passes of hands?
Like passing your hand over someone.
All right.
You know, just like, these are not the droids you're looking for. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what I think about that. There was a Hindu god named Vedas, V-E-D-A-S. I'm sorry, wrong. I'm totally on the wrong track here.
All right.
There was this, the Vedas was a Hindu writing thing.
Okay.
Somebody wrote Vedas, a Hindu version, around 1500 BC, and it mentions hypnotic procedures.
Are you sure it's not Vedas?
Could be. Could be Vedas.
Is it Vays or Vaz?
Yeah. I don't know.
I ain't listening to you no more.
Then stop. So Vedas is the
written word from Hindu.
Okay.
Around 1500 BC that mentions hypnotic procedures. Mm. So we're talking about trance-like states, the sleep temples, the god Hypnos, the god Somnus, this Chinese medicine, Wang Tai, who wrote about techniques, and the Hindu Vedas. So they all mention in different forms things like shamanistic, druidic, voodoo, yogic,
okay,
and religious practices. Hmm. So they all kind of center around these trance-like states.
Huh.
Okay. So we all know that, and I'm going to jump ahead and jump back, but the father of modern hypnosis is widely regarded as Franz Mesmer.
Yes. We've talked about
Franz. Yes. We've talked about Franz Mesmer, but before him, there were a couple of major, I guess, influencers in the world of hypnosis.
So like the Beatles and Prince.
You're influenced by those who come before you. Yeah. So one of the early ones, and this is from 980 to 1037, was called Avicenna, A-V-I-C-E-N-N-A. Okay. He was a Persian psychologist and a physician. So he was one of the earliest who made a what I guess you would call it, a distinction between hypnosis and actual sleep.
Okay.
So before that time, there wasn't this understanding. People might have assumed it was sleep, but it was not really. So Avicenna really kind of laid it out and made a clear distinction between sleep and hypnosis in his book called The Book of Healing, which he published in 1027.
Wow.
I didn't even know books got published that early. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know, like, if they called it published.
They probably didn't call it publishing. They probably wrote it and just gave it out.
Right.
You know,
here's a pamphlet. Here's a pamphlet.
Yeah, here. Here, read this.
Here's they have a brain like a chicken.
Hey, here's a stone slab.
Yeah. Here, just look over this when you have a chance. Here's your wheelbarrow to carry it in.
God's 20.
Oh, good for you.
I dropped one. God's 10 commandments.
So again, he publishes in 1027, and he referred to hypnosis in Arabic as Al-Wam Al-Amil.
Okay.
Which means one could create conditions in another person so that he or she accepts the reality. So he's stating there that you could influence people to think differently with hypnosis, in 1027.
Wow. Okay.
So in Western cultures, hypnotism evolved out of sometimes skeptical reaction to early works. We're going back to Mesmer here, who was a magnetist.
Oh, okay.
And we'll get into that in a minute. If you don't know what a magnetist is,
I don't.
I'm going to let you know.
All right.
Yes. It's a. There's a whole vein of medicine back when that used magnets. So
okay,
we'll get into that.
All right, fair enough.
So after Avicenna comes Paracelsus, who lived from 1493 to 1541.
That's a long life.
Mm-hmm. He was a Swiss physician, and he used magnets in his work as a doctor.
Okay, so. I'm curious about how magnets work themselves.
Uh-huh.
Are working themselves.
Well, that's a great question. So many people back in that time claimed to have been healed after he had passed magnets over their bodies.
I'm sure there were some positive effects and some negative effects.
Maybe. Depends on what, you know, which side of the magnet you're using. Well, there you go.
Oh, good for you.
Just can't help myself.
No, I know. So an Irishman by the name of Valentine Greatrakes. What a name.
Greatrakes?
Valentine Greatrakes.
Dude, what kind of stupid wiener name is that?
Oh, shakies. Oh, I got some Lucky Charms.
He lived in 1628 to 1682.
Okay.
He was known as the Great Irish... He was known as the Great Irish Stroker.
Oh, idy, 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 idy. Yep.
For his ability to heal people by laying hands on them and passing magnets over their bodies.
Okay.
So he gained a reputation of being able to heal people with magnets.
The same thing that Optimus Magnus did.
Does Magneto do that too? Yeah. No.
Well, he doesn't have to. He just does it.
What in blazes are you talking about?
It's crazy. I don't know.
Go on.
So the next figure we're going to talk about is Johann Gassner, who lived in 727 to 1779. Mm-hmm. He was a Catholic priest, actually, at the time.
Okay.
And he believed that disease was caused by evil spirits. And the only way to exorcise them was through incantations and prayer.
So he converted.
Apparently. So this is all kind of what's happening in this time frame from like 1400s up to 1790, 1800.
Wow. A lot of it is just like
what I would call a learning process, like there were belief of certain things, and then things were proved wrong, or things were modified, or beliefs were modified.
It's like trial and error.
Yeah, no, yeah. Absolutely. And, yeah. And I think it's like that with anything that's a little bit fringe or a little bit not mainstream.
Fair.
As far as medical treatments go.
Okay.
Yeah. So the next major figure in hypnosis at that time was 1720 to 1792, about the same time as Gassner, but a little bit after, Maximilian Hell.
Okay. Go on.
What kind of stupid wiener name is that?
I was just let that dangle out there a little bit.
Max Hell. Yeah. Okay. So he was also using magnets to heal by applying steel plates. I don't know why they have to specify here, but by applying steel plates to the naked body.
How heavy were the steel plates?
I have no idea. But one of Hell's students was none other than a young medical doctor from Vienna named
Gossamer.
Nope. Franz Mesmer.
Franz Mesmer. I meant Mesmer.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So he was actually a student of this of Hell.
Okay.
So Mesmer, and we'll get a little bit more into Mesmer later on, but he was maligned during his time as a doctor.
When you say maligned,
maligned, like criticized or not believed, okay, or thought to be a farce or a joke, or you know,
I thought that meant he was groomed. But not.
Oh, okay. No, no. Okay. They were just kind of looked down on him because they thought he's wacky.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah, well.
What are you people? On dope?
He could have been.
I mean,
it's hard to say.
Sure.
You know.
All right. So Mesmer was a patient student of
Max Hell. Maximilian Hell.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. So
who used steel
plates.
You can
see how this kind of develops over time. People were still doing, they're still into the magnetism part of healing. And then we'll see as we go forward how it kind of veered off of that.
Okay.
There's a fork in the road at some point.
A literal, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe literal. I'm stuck to the magnet.
Oh, good for you.
And thus began the spork.
Yes, exactly.
All right.
And it was not plastic. All right, folks, here's what we're going to do. We just started getting into this. Before we get into the next section, which is a little bit longer because we're going to focus on Mesmer for a while.
Okay, I like it.
We're going to start that at the beginning of next episode. So we're going to finish up the history of hypnosis, bringing us all the way to current day during the next episode.
All right.
So what we're going to do is join us for episode History of Hypnosis Part 2 on the next episode. Those of you on Facebook Live, stick around. We're going to be right back.
Yep.
Those of you listening to audio, wherever you're listening, jump ahead to the next episode, or it will drop next Tuesday or Thursday.
Beautiful.
Before we take off, our dog of the day from the Detroit Dog Rescue.
Oh, who is it?
It's Amaya.
Amaya?
Amaya is a lab mix, born August 2022.
Ooh, a couple years old.
So year and a half years old about right now. Female, 47 pounds.
Ooh.
Dog friendly, yes. Cat friendly, unknown. Kid friendly, yes. Activity level is medium. But Amaya needs a home.
Right there in the camera.
Right
there
she
is.
Amaya.
Aww, look at the face.
I know. I love that face.
Come on. Why do we need to be rescuing Amaya? She's gorgeous.
Well, I'm. You know what? I look at a lot of these dogs. So I'll be very upfront and honest. Most of the dogs when I look, well, Detroit Dog Rescue is the one I usually go to find our people, our dogs for our show. But even some of the other shelters I look at, most of the ones up for adoption are either pit bulls or more what people perceive as being more violent dogs.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
But they're not.
It's just perception, I think, or people don't. There's might be a little bit more work involved, and I think that's why a lot of these dogs get sent away. But anyway, Amaya needs a home.
Yes, go get Amaya. Come on,
Amaya's looking for a home. Her this is perfect. She's not even 50 pounds. She likes dogs. She likes kids.
Come on.
Her activity level is medium. She won't run you out of the house, but Amaya needs a home.
She'll try.
Please.
Yep. Please.
She wants a home. There you go, Matt. For a closer look.
Yeah.
At Amaya.
Adorable.
She is. I know.
She looks like a really good puppy.
Yeah.
Have you seen that movie Strays?
No.
I'll tell you about it later.
Okay.
I'll tell you about it later.
Okay.
No! Don't shut me up.
There's a scene where the dogs are in the forest and they're hungry and they've come across a patch of mushrooms.
Oh, and they get high.
Oh boy.
What happened?
Oh boy. It's pretty comical, actually.
What are you people? On dope?
Right.
Well, the dogs were. Yeah.
It was.
So anyway, Amaya needs a home. DetroitDogRescue.com. Adopt. Check it out. Amaya needs a home.
Do it.
All right, folks. We'll be back next episode with History of Hypnosis, Part 2. In the meantime, change your thinking, change your life. Laugh hard, run fast, be kind. We'll see you next time.